السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمدللہ نحمده ونستعینه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوکل علیہ ونعوذ باللہ من شرور انفسنا ومن سیئات اعمالنا، من یهده اللہ فلا مضل له ومن یضلل فلا هادی له، ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد ان سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى اله واصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. وقال تعالى وأنزل الله عليك الكتاب والحكمة وعلمك ما لم تكن تعلم وكان فضل الله عليك عظيما. وقال تعالى اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق، خلق الإنسان من علق، اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم، علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما بعثت معلما. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن الله لم يبعثني معنتا ولا متعنتا ولكن بعثني معلما ميسرا. وقال معاوية بن الحكم والله ما رأيت قبله ولا بعده معلما أحسن تعليما منه، فوالله ما كهرني ولا ضربني ولا شتمني، ولكن قال إن صلاتنا هذه لا يصلح فيها شيء من كلام الناس، إنما هي التسبيح والتكبير وتلاوة القرآن، او كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ما قال ربنا وخالقنا ورازقنا من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. سب پڑھیں درود شریف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وہ نبیوں میں رحمت لقب پانے والا، مرادیں غریبوں کی بر لانے والا، وہ اپنے پرائے کا غم کھانے والا، قبائل کو شیر و شکر کرنے والا، اتر کر حرا سے سوئے قوم آیا اور ایک نسخے کیمیا ساتھ لایا، وہ بجلی کا کڑکا تھا یا صوت ہادی، عرب کی زمین جس نے ساری ہلا دی، عرب جس پہ تھا جہل قرنوں سے چھایا، پلٹ دی بس ایک آن میں اس کی کایا، رہا ڈر نہ بیڑے کو موجے بلا کا، ادھر سے ادھر پھر گیا رخ ہوا کا. ہوں لاکھوں سلام اس آقا پر، دل لاکھوں جس نے جوڑ دیے، دنیا کو دیا پیغام سکون، طوفانوں کے رخ موڑ دیے. حضور آئے تو کیا کیا، ساتھ نعمت لے کے آئے ہیں، اخوت علم اور حکمت اور آدمیت لے کے آئے ہیں، علم و حکمت اور آدمیت لے کے آئے ہیں. حقیقت میں وہ لطف زندگی پایا نہیں کرتے، جو یاد مصطفیٰ سے دل کو بہلایا نہیں کرتے. زبان پر شکوے رنج و الم لایا نہیں کرتے، نبی کے نام لیوا غم سے گھبرایا نہیں کرتے. ارے وہ نا سمجھ قربان ہو جا ان کے روزے پر، یہ لمحے زندگی میں بار بار آیا نہیں کرتے. یہ دربار محمد ہے، یہاں ملتا ہے بے مانگے، یہ دربار محمد ہے، یہاں ملتا ہے بے مانگے، ارے ناداں یہاں دامن کو پھیلایا نہیں کرتے۔ فاصلوں کو تکلف ہے ہم سے اگر، ہم بھی بے بس نہیں، سہارا بے سہارا نہیں، خود انہیں کو پکاریں گے ہم دور سے، راستے میں اگر پاؤں تھک جائیں گے۔ ہم مدینے میں تنہا نکل جائیں گے اور گلیوں میں قصدن بھٹک جائیں گے، ہم وہاں جا کے واپس نہیں آئیں گے، ڈھونڈتے ڈھونڈتے لوگ تھک جائیں گے۔ اے مدینے کے زائر، خدا کے لیے داستان سفر مجھ کو یوں مت سنا، دل تڑپ جائے گا، بات بڑھ جائے گی، میرے محتاط آنسو چھلک جائیں گے۔ ریسپیکٹڈ ایلڈرز، برادرز، فرینڈز، لیڈیز، الحمدللہ وی کین سی دا کانفرنس از موونگ فارورڈ ویری نائسلی، ماشاء اللہ۔ یو ہیو بین ہیئرنگ ویری ایلوکوئنٹ اسپیچز۔ مولانا احمد علی صاحب بیان فرما رہے تھے حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی اخلاق شریفانہ کریمانہ کے اوپر، کس قدر عظیم اخلاق کے مالک تھے، کس قدر عظیم اخلاق کے مالک تھے۔ سبحان اللہ، فرماتے صل من قطعک واعف عن من ظلمک واحسن الى من اساء الیک، کتنا بیوٹیفل سینٹنس ہے۔ جو تم سے رشتہ توڑے تم اس کا رشتہ جوڑو، جو تمہارا نقصان کرے تم اس کو معاف کرو، جو تم سے برا کرے تم اس سے اچھا سلوک کرو۔ کوئی ہے ایسی بات سکھانے والا؟ کون سکھائے گا؟ آج یہ کام بہت مشکل ہے۔ آج تو ہم لوگ اتنے بگڑ گئے ہیں، کوئی ذرا سی بات کہے تو ہم بھڑک اٹھتے ہیں۔ آج ایک مسجد میں نے نماز پڑھی، میرے آگے ایک صاحب تھے، ہی واز ویئرنگ لو کٹ جینس اینڈ ٹی شرٹ، وین ہی وینٹ ان سجدہ ہز بیک سائڈ واز ویزیبل، یو کین ورچولی سی ہز بیک سائڈ۔ ناؤ ہز نماز از ناٹ ڈن، the person behind him, we have to close our eyes, توبہ استغفراللہ، تو ستر کھل رہا ہے اس کا۔ Afterwards, when he went out, I followed him, he went in another room, and I said, بھائی آپ کی نماز نہیں ہوئی، آپ نماز دہرا لو، your نماز is not done, you have to repeat your نماز۔ And he started barging on me، آپ لوگوں کا اور کوئی دھندہ ہے کہ نہیں؟ یہ کیا ہے، آپ اپنی نماز پڑھتے ہیں کہ دوسروں کو دیکھتے ہیں وہ دوسرے کیا کر رہے ہیں؟ پھر میں بھی گرم ہو گیا، تو میرے آگے ہے تو میں آنکھ بند کروں؟ نماز میں آنکھ بند کرنا منع ہے، میں تیرے پیچھے تھا، تو میرے آگے تھا، میں آنکھ بند کر لوں؟ تجھے سر ڈھکنا چاہیے، مجھے کہتا ہے آنکھ بند کرنے کو، بے شرم کہیں گا۔ یعنی لوگ کتنے بگڑ گئے ہیں کہ ان کو کوئی اچھی بات کہیں تو دیر پریپیئر ٹو لسن، ان کو سننا نہیں ہے۔ یعنی اس تو سوچنا چاہیے کہ ایک عالم ہے اور میں نے پیار سے محبت سے الگ کمرے میں ایک کونے میں جا کر کہا، بھرے مجمع میں نہیں کہا، سب کے سامنے گئے ایسا نہیں کرنے کا، چپ چاپ سے کہا تاکہ کسی کے سامنے ان کو شرمندگی نہ ہو۔ تو یہ شوڈ ہیو سیڈ کہ بھائی سوری، ہاں مولانا صاحب جزاک اللہ، تھینک یو ویری مچ۔ یہ میں آپ کو ڈفرنس بتاتا ہوں۔ ہمارے یہاں ایک مرتبہ لندن میں میں نے ایک مسجد میں نماز پڑھی، تو میرے آگے ایک صاحب تھے تو ان کے پاؤں میں وہ اسٹیکر لگا ہوا تھا، وہ ایپل کے اوپر سٹیکر ہوتا ہے نا، تو ایسا کوئی سٹیکر لگا ہوا تھا۔ اب ظاہر ہے وہ سٹیکر لگا ہوا ہے تو وضو نہیں ہوا، کیونکہ پانی تو اوپر سے چلا گیا تو وضو نہیں ہوا۔ تو میں نے ان کو بعد میں کہا کہ وہ بھائی آپ کے پاؤں میں سٹیکر لگا ہوا ہے تو آپ کی نماز نہیں ہوئی، آپ دوبارہ وضو کرو، اس کو دھو پاؤں کو برابر، نماز پھر سے پڑھو۔ تو وہ یوں کر کے مجھے غصے میں دیکھنے لگا، صاحب آپ کون مجھے کہنے والے ہیں؟ بہت غصہ آیا اس کو، وہ کچھ بولا تو نہیں لیکن اس کی ایکشن کہہ رہی تھی کہ دل نہیں۔ یہ ہمارا یوروپ امریکہ کا ماحول۔ سیم سیناریو ایک دفعہ میرے ساتھ ہندوستان میں ہوا، سورت میں کسی جگہ میں نے نماز پڑھی، تو وہاں کوئی صاحب تھے تو آگے ان کو کچھ لگا ہوا تھا پاؤں کے اوپر، تو میں نے ان کو کہا کہ بھائی آپ کی نماز نہیں ہوئی، فوراً کہ او مولانا صاحب کہاں کیا ہے، او ہو تو بھائی تو میں نے دیکھا ہی نہیں تھا،
جلدی سے اس کو صاف کیا، جا کے حوض پہ وضو کیا، نماز دہرائی، میرا شکریہ ادا کیا۔ یہ فرق ہے ماحول کا۔ ہندوستان ہمارا ملکوں کا ماحول، دا انوائرمنٹ اوور دیئر از آف ہمبلنس، ہیومیلٹی، تواضع۔ اینڈ وین یو کم ان دیز فارن کنٹریز، ناک تکبر چڑھ جاتے ہیں، آسمان پہ دماغ اڑنے لگتا ہے، ہم کچھ ہیں، ہاں فلائی کر رہے ہیں، وی آر سم تھنگ۔ یہ مزاج، یہ مینٹالٹی از رانگ۔ وین سم ون ٹیچز یو سم تھنگ نائس، یو شوڈ لسن ٹو دیم، جزاک اللہ، تھینک یو مولانا صاحب، شکریہ آپ کا۔ یہ دوستو بزرگو، تعلیم میں یہ بھی ایک جز ہے، اس لیے میں اس پر بات کر رہا ہوں۔ سملرلی وی سو مغرب نماز موبائل، وی ہیڈ ٹو سے بیکاز دیر واز میوزک، مزمور الشیطان فی بیت الرحمن، شیطان's music in the house of Rahman. How can we accept that? Sometimes some other things you need to correct as well. And I'm going to correct you whether you like it or not. But I'm going to say, there is too much shor in your masjid. Too much noise. Abhi bhi dekho, udhar log baatein kar rahe hain. Yahan awaaz aa raha hi nahi aa raha. Hai na? Acha. اب نماز پڑھ رہے ہیں تو ادھر باتیں ہو رہی ہیں، بھائی آپ کو بات کرنی ہے تو وسپر کرو، کین یو ناٹ وسپر؟ وائی ڈو یو ہیو ٹو اسکریم یور ہیڈز آف؟ سم پیپل آفٹر مغرب نماز دے ور ریسائٹنگ لاؤڈلی۔ ناؤ اف سم ون آن یور سائڈ از ٹرائنگ ٹو پرے ہز نماز اینڈ یو آر ریسائٹنگ قل یا ایھا الکافرون لا اعبد ما تعبدون ولا انتم عابدون ما اعبد لکم من دون اللہ، ناؤ دی پرسن نیکسٹ ٹو یو ہز مائنڈ از بوگل، ہی ڈزنٹ نو واٹ ٹو ریسائٹ، ہی از سیئنگ متشابہات ان ہز نماز۔ But you should be considerate. You should not disturb other people. Let me tell you one hadith. Once our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was masbuq. He went for some hajat, need, zarurat, to talk to some people. He was delayed over there. Sahaba started the namaz because he was getting late. And his teaching was, you start namaz, no problem. So he came, he had missed one rakat. This hadith is in Jami' of Ibn Wahb. Jami' Ibn Wahb. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up to pray his missed rakat. The person next to him was reading a little bit loudly. After saying salams, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tulaqqin man hawlak." Don't dictate those who are around you. You know, like dictation, you talk and someone writes. So I am sitting next to you, why are you dictating me? You should read quietly, silently. You are boggling my mind. I get mistaken. Now if I was over here after Maghrib Namaz trying to recite Yasin Sharif in Namaz and someone is reading loudly, then I would get mistaken in my reading. I can't read. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leading namaz and someone behind him also following him in the reading. Now you shouldn't pray behind an imam. You should stand silently. Complete silence. Imam is praying, that's enough. You don't need to pray. So people, someone recited and after salat he said, مَا لِي أُنَازَعُ الْقُرْآنِ. What is with people that they are trying to snatch Quran from me? إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ فَإِذَا كَبَّرَ فَكَبِّرُوا وَإِذَا رَكَعَ فَرْكَعُوا and he said وَإِذَا قَرَأَ فَانْسِتُوا. Imam is imam. He is your leader. When he prays, stay silent. Don't pray behind him. So we must not pray behind imam because we don't want to disturb him and confuse him. So this is something you need to rectify and correct. Try and keep the environment of the masjid complete silence. No talking, no noise. You know, Masjid Nabawi used to be extremely peaceful. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was once sitting, and there were two people sitting at a distance, and yap, 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 yap. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu took a small pebble and flicked it at one sahabi, He didn't shout, "Oi, come here." He flicked the pebble and he hit the Sahabi. So he looked up. Sayyidina Umar said, "Come here." So he came and he said, "Go and call those two." So he went and called them. Sayyidina Umar is calling you. And they said, "Yes, Amirul Mumineen, what can I do for you?" And Sayyidina Umar said, "Where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Taif." Said, "If you were from Medina, then I would have beaten you up with this whip of mine." تَرْفَعَانِ أَصْوَاتَكُمَا فِي مَسْجِدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. You are raising your voices in the masjid of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have you no manners? I was shocked. So in Masjid Nabawi, complete silence. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu extended the masjid. When he extended, he made a special room at the back towards one corner. And he said, if someone has any need to talk, then he should go in that room and talk over there. Don't disturb the people of the masjid. And we have plenty of rooms at the back. If you want to talk, go in another room and talk over there. But you know what happens is sometimes people don't realize. They talk right at the back and they think, yap, 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 nobody's hearing us, but we can hear everything over here. So try and stay calm, keep the environment of the masjid as peaceful as possible. This is one of my requests to you. Another thing I want to mention is topi. Plenty of people don't wear topi, but at the same time, they have this impression that wearing topi is something wrong. And there are people out there who do give this impression that you shouldn't wear a topi. It's wrong. It's against sunnah. Well, let me correct this before the matter gets out of hand. Because this type of ideology, mentality is on the increase. So, we have to explain the masala. If I, sitting on this chair, don't explain it to you, who's going to explain? As an alim, it's my duty to tell you, to teach you. Let me tell you that there are three sunnats. One, wearing a topi is sunnat. Are you with me? Every action has a ruling in Shariat. Either is faraz or wajib or sunnat or mustahab or haram or makruhi tahrimi or makruhi tanzihi, jaiz, najaiz. It has a ruling. So we have to understand, don't just say, what is the hadith, where is the hadith? Following the hadith is not necessary. Not every hadith is to be followed. But following the fiqh is necessary. Because fiqh is the conclusion and the summary of ahadith. You will get plenty of ahadith. The fuqaha and the ulama will deduce the masla from the collection of various ahadith, and they will give you the ruling with regards to that mas'ala. This is called ijtihad. This is called fiqh. So these are fiqhi rulings which the ulama explained to us. Now wearing topi is sunnat. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wear topi. Abu Shaykh is a great muhaddith. He is companion of Abu al-Qasim al-Tabarani. They both went out in search of hadith and knowledge, and they traveled thousands of kilometers on foot. And he has compiled a very nice musnad, and in there he has narrated a hadith in which it says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had three topis, three caps. One was white in color, the other was black in color, and the third had two flaps on his side which would cover his ears, and he would wear that in the battlefield, and he would wear the metal helmet on top of that topi. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had topi and he used to wear it. There are many hadiths which explain this mas'ala, and we see the practice of Salafi Saliheen as well to wear topi. Sahaba used to wear topi. Tabi'in, Tabi'i Tabi'in. Topi came into our Indian subcontinent through one of these Sahaba, Uthman ibn Abi al-As al-Saqafi, when he came to the area of Sindh. That's where the Sahaba first came. And from there, the people embraced Islam and they saw the Sahaba and the Tabi'in wearing topi, and this type of topi which we wear came from there. This is the history of topi in our area. Otherwise, in our Indian subcontinent, they never used to wear topi. So, wearing topi is sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of Sahaba, of Tabi'in. And you even go today in Haramain Sharifain, you will see all the Sharif noble people wearing topis. The Imams of Haram, Sheikh Sudeish, Sheikh Shunaim, Sheikh Mahir Mu'aiqili, they will all be wearing topi and they will be wearing a scarf over it. If you see underneath their scarf, they will have a topi. So, topi is sunnah. This is the first sunnah. Try and wear a topi with the intention of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sunnah of Salafi Saliheen, Ulama, Salaha, Mashayikh. One thing to notice, make sure the topi is not too small, because there are other communities who wear a small cap and we don't want to cause any similarities with them. So topi should be nice in size and covering the head. Second sunnah is wearing some sort of scarf to cover the head. This is also sunnah. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to cover his head. There is a hadith which says, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yukthiru al-qina'." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would most often, many times, wear a qina'. Qina' is something which covers the head and the back. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha in the hadith of Hijrat says that it was the noon time and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to our house. And someone said, "Hada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mutaqanni'an." There is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming. He has covered his head with a scarf. In the hadith of Ka'b ibn Ujra radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated among the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, and he mentioned a fitna. There will be a chaos. There will be some 15 people who will try to create divisions within the Muslim community, and they will try to murder the ruler of the time. He mentioned that fitna, that this is coming. Someone wearing a scarf was passing by. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated towards him, and he said, "Hada yawma'idin ala al-haqqi." That person who is passing by wearing that scarf will be on haq on that day. So the Sahabi got up to look who that person is, and it was Sayyiduna Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. So he got hold of his shoulders, he turned him around facing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, haza, this person?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, this person will be on haq at that time." So I have given you three hadiths with regards to covering the head. And you Canadians, you should cover your heads, because there is extremely cold over here. It's snowing outside. And I am wearing this because I caught cold as soon as I got here. I came from 35, 40 degrees to minus 3, and change of climate got to me. I had a runny nose. But even when I felt hot, I still wear this. And alhamdulillah, without any tablets, my body has come under control. The runny nose has gone. And I'm feeling much better, alhamdulillah. So it's better than putting goalies in your pit than covering yourself. Number three, the third sunnah is wearing imamah. Imamah is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Tirmizi rahmatullahi alayhi has conducted a special chapter in Shama'il-e-Tirmizi with regards to imamah, babu ma ja'a fi imamatin nabiyye sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has mentioned many ahadith. Sahabi says, "I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Friday standing on the minbar wearing a black imamah giving us the khutbah. And I have never seen anyone more handsome and more beautiful than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahabi says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah Mukarramah on the day of Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, in such a state that he was wearing a black imama. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked white clothes and he promoted white clothes. He said, إِلْبَسُ الْبَيَاضَ مِنَ الثِّيَابِ. Wear white clothes. وَكَفِّنُوا فِيهَا مَوْتَاكُمْ. He said, فَإِنَّهَا أَطْيَبُ وَأَطْهَرُ. Because white clothes look nice and they remain more clean and pak. Because as soon as some napaki touches, you can see it, it's visible, so you have to wash it immediately. With colored clothes, you might not notice it and the cloth might stay napak. But with white clothes, it will stay more pak and it will look better as well. So, this indicates that a white imama should be worn as well if you want. So, wear imama, white color, black color, both colors are mentioned, no problem. So, we have mentioned three sunnats. While we are on to libas, let me tell you that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's preferred libas was al-qamis. And the sleeve of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's qamis was up to his wrist. And the length of the qamis was up to the half of his shin. You can wear a jubba like this from Arabistan, or like our Pakistani shalwar qamis, Punjabi, that's also okay. The only difference is that it has a slit on the side. And this is to make running easy for us. So there is no problem. As long as it's qamis, both come under the definition of sunnah. Both are qamis, and the aim is to cover the satar properly. So we don't get a scenario of that person whose backside was visible when he went in sajda. When you are wearing qamis, your satar is covered properly. There is no risk of opening and namaz being fasid. This is with libas, regards to some hidayat with regards to libas and qamis. Respected elders, brothers, friends, I have been given the subject of talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a teacher. MashaAllah, conference titled, Who is Muhammad? He was the greatest benefactor, the greatest teacher, the greatest orator, the greatest legislator, the greatest statesman, the greatest leader the humanity has ever seen. No one better teacher than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stepped their foot on the face of this earth. We can say this with firm conviction and we can give dalils upon this. I want to ask you, who do you regard as a beautiful teacher? Many of you go to colleges, universities, schools. Who do you think is your best teacher among your in whatever subjects you study? You will have different teachers. Who is the best teacher? Well, a teacher needs six qualities to be a good teacher. Number one, he or she should have comprehensive knowledge of the subject being taught. Whatever you teach, you should know your stuff. If you don't know, how are you going to teach? You know, in Makkah Mukarrama, there is a madrasa called Al-Madrasatu Sawlatiyya. It's been established for over a century, maybe 150 years ago. It's as old as Darul Uloom Deoband. And many of the princes and of the current time have studied in the madrasa as well. Their children have studied there as well. So once the government wanted some changes and they were changing all the curriculums of all the schools and everything, so they got, you know, hold of Madrasa Sawlati as well, and they said, you have to change your curriculum as well, and you have to change your teachers as well. Now, all the teachers over there are from our Indian-Pakistani background. So they said, you have to get rid of all the teachers, and we will provide teachers for you, we will provide curriculum for you. Now the Intizamiya and the Muhtamim Sahab and the principal didn't know what to do, because everything was happening suddenly. So next day they sent in teachers, and they had this subject of reading the Quran with Tajweed. So you have to read Quran with Tajweed. And the teacher they sent to teach the Quran, he himself didn't know Tajweed properly. So he brought with him a cassette player and some cassettes at that time. He put it in a cassette and he tells the class, read like this person is reading. You yourself don't know how to read, and you are telling the student, ye jaisa padh raha hai waisa padho. Aur kya padhayenge bachchon ko? If you don't know what you're teaching, you can't teach. You have to know what you are teaching. You have to know the subject inside out. If you don't know your subject, what you're teaching, you're not a good teacher. The quality of a teacher is in himself knowing what he is teaching. Number two. Second thing is experience of teaching. Sometimes you have a young man who has just graduated. He knows his stuff, but he doesn't have any experience of teaching. That is why when you apply for a job of teaching, they ask you, how many years experience do you have? And you have to say, I have been teaching for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And they say, isko bulao, CV dekho, interview karo. So second thing is, you need experience. If you are not experienced, you will not be able to teach that subject to the best of your ability, how you should be teaching. There will be some deficiency in your teaching. Number three, even if you have comprehensive knowledge of the subject, you have experience, but the third thing you need is dedication, hard work, effort, mutala'a, study. If you are not dedicated, if you are not hardworking, you have a laid-back attitude. You go, sometimes you don't go, you miss, you skip the lessons. There is no dedication to your job, that you won't be able to teach properly. So, a teacher needs to be dedicated to the subject which is allocated to him. He has to teach with hard work and effort. Number four, fourth thing a teacher needs is manner of speech, eloquence. Sometimes a person has very good knowledge, he is very experienced, he is dedicated, but he has speech problem. He can't use the right words. Whenever he stands to teach and write on the blackboard and say something, he says something else and the kids don't understand what he's trying to say. So you know your stuff, you are dedicated, you are experienced, but you don't have the right words. You can't get into the minds and the brains of the students. So what you need is to choose the right words, ifham, tafheem, explanation, and explaining the subject properly so each and every student understands what the teacher is trying to say. Even the most dabbu student can also understand what the ustad is trying to say. And number five, sincerity. A teacher also needs to be sincere in his teaching. You can't use favoritism. Some teachers have their pet boys and focus on some more than others. And kids also say, ye teacher ka pet hai. Aur isko zyada attention dete hain. Or teacher bhi, he ignores some and pays more attention to others. Now a teacher should not be like that. He should treat everyone, the whole class, equally. And he should focus on everyone. He should be sincere. He shouldn't give preference to some over the others. Treat everyone equally.
and make sure every student realizes that Ustad, the teacher, wants me to learn something. Then the student will also work hard and progress. These are five general principles for teaching any subject. And number six, especially for dini knowledge, religious knowledge, you need a sixth thing, and that is practice. Whatever an ustad, a religious teacher, teaches the students, he should also put it into practice. If you teach your children, student, good manners, akhlaq, then you should also have those good akhlaq and adab within you. Your akhlaq, your a'mal, your characteristics. You should have the humility, the humbleness. You should set an example. You should be such a person that your students look up to you. And they admire you. They love you. They try to behave like you. Then you will have an influence on them. So the sixth thing is putting into practice whatever you learn. If you tell them to pray, you have to pray properly yourself. If you tell them to tell the truth, then you have to speak the truth as well. You can't lie in front of them and teach them to lie. You can't say to a student, go to so and so person and tell him this. Whereas you know, and the student also knows that you are lying. It will be like the father on whose door Tabligh Jamaat knocked on the door. And the father asked, who is it, Tabligh Jamaat? Tell them I'm not here. And the young innocent kid comes and says, Mere papa ne kaha ke papa ghar mein nahi hai. My dad said that he is not in the house. So that the dad is teaching his son how to lie. So if you are a teacher, you teach your children to tell the truth, then you should speak the truth yourself. If you tell your children and students not to use mobile in the class, then you yourself will have to stop using the mobile in the class as well. If they secretly text in the class, you catch them, you punish them, that's no good. And you yourself also use your mobile. The students are only with you for 2 hours. And you use that mobile and you waste your time on the mobile. You're not giving your full time. You're not dedicated to your subject. So, these are six principles with regards to teaching. Now, let's check Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within these six principles. Number one, comprehensive knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's knowledge was comprehensive. Full knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Allah has taught you that which you did not know. And Allah's fadl and grace upon you has been azim and mighty. Allah himself is the muallim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is teaching. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. He is the teacher. Allah himself is the teacher of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is inspiring Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam day in, day out. Every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending the wahi upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel is coming many times, 5-10 times a day with Qur'ani ayat, with answers to queries, questions, objections of the mushrikeen. And Allah is sending down the Qur'an and the wahi and the answers and the replies to queries. Allah himself is teaching Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So imagine how much knowledge Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, Utitu ilma al-awwaleena wal-akhireen. I was given the knowledge of the first and the last. The first communities and the last communities. He was told of those who came before him. The Anbiya alayhimus salam, from Adam alayhis salam, Nuh alayhis salam, Ibrahim alayhis salam, Shu'ayb alayhis salam, Hud alayhis salam, Salih alayhis salam, Lut alayhis salam, Musa alayhis salam, Sulaiman alayhis salam, Dawood alayhis salam, Zakariya alayhis salam, Yahya alayhis salam, Isa alayhis salam, their nations, how the Anbiya preached and how the people behaved and how those who followed the Anbiya and believed were saved. And how those who rejected and abused and hurt the Anbiya, they were destroyed. All these ulooms were given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also the knowledge of the last, those to come after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is one hadith in which Sahabi says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood among us after Fajr, and he started talking about ma kan wa ma yakun, what happened and what is going to happen. And he kept on talking and talking and talking until Zuhr. And then he stood up and on the minbar, and he started talking and talking, and he started giving lecture until Asr. And after Asr until Maghrib, and after Maghrib until Isha. Allahu Akbar. Can someone give a lecture like that? From Fajr till Isha. You have to have comprehensive knowledge to speak in that manner. And you are talking up in a very eloquent manner, with short, succinct words. And you are telling people about what has happened before and what is going to happen until the day of Qiyamah. He's talking about Dajjal, Ya'juj Ma'juj, Isa alayhi salam's coming down, signs of Qiyamah, what is going to happen before that. And he is talking about the fitnas. Sometimes, you know, he gave the names of some fitnas and fitna khors and 15 people who are going to come. He said that imposters will come. There will be 30 liars, imposters who will claim to be prophets. But know that I am Khatamul Nabiyyin. There is no prophet after me. So he spoke about all this from morning till evening, till Isha Salah. This shows, explains his knowledge, vast amount of knowledge. If we can say that if we were to put the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in one scale, and the knowledge of all the Anbiya and Awliya and humanity on the other scale, the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would outweigh the knowledge of all the Anbiya and Awliya and all the creation. Because Allah taught him, Allah gave him so much knowledge. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's knowledge was comprehensive. He knew his stuff, he knew what he was saying. Secondly, we said second quality is experience of teaching. An experienced teacher will summarize the lesson and put it forward in such a manner that it will be easy to understand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam can be said to be the most experienced teacher. Nobody had more experience in teaching than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was unschooled, unlettered. However, as soon as he receives the wahi, the first thing he does is starts preaching. And when people enter Deen Islam, he has to now teach them the Quran, make them hafiz of Quran. Whatever surah is being revealed, he has to teach them that surah so they can memorize it. He has to teach them wuzu, he has to teach them namaz, he has to teach them ruku, sajda, ibadat. So for this purpose, he was looking for a place where people could gather and teach, and he could teach and they could study. There was a sahabi, an elderly sahabi, whose name was Al-Arqam ibn Abil Arqam. He was one of the first to embrace Islam. And he had a big haveli in Makkah Mukarramah, large mansion, surrounded by walls and secure. He said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, you can use my house. Whoever embraces Islam can come in my house, he will feel secure, and you can feel secure, and you can teach your religion there as well. So Darul Arqam became the first madrasa, the first Darul Uloom of our Deen Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach the Sahaba in Darul Arqam. Arqam is the name of the Sahabi, and he was his house, his haveli, which was the first madrasa. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching him, and he is teaching the Sahaba. His experience is increasing. And
He knows how to teach people. He knows his stuff. When he is asked questions, he knows how to give the answers. Later on we see list of questions and he gives beautiful answers. He is going for Hajj and people ask him question, Ya Rasulullah, what libas can a muhrim wear? And he gives beautiful answer. A muhrim cannot wear qamis, imama, shoes and leather socks and burnus, meaning burnus has two tafsir. One is topi. So we come here the masala of topi. Topi which covers the head. So he can't wear a burnus, a long topi, or it means a hooded jubba. So he can't cover the head with a hooded jubba or a topi. Other than that, he can wear whatever he can find. So, beautiful, short, simple answer, which everybody can understand. Sayyiduna Jibreel Amin alayhi salam comes in the form of a human being, and the hadith is Jibreel. He asks questions. Rasulullah doesn't know he is Jibreel until the end, until he is about to leave. He thinks this is a normal person, a musafir, and he wants to ask few questions. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks to him nicely, gently. Mal Islam? What is Islam? And Rasulullah says beautifully, Antashahada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa tuqima as-salah wa tuti as-zakah wa tasum ramadhan wa tahujjal bayt in istata'ta ilayhi sabila. Mal Iman? أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. ما الإحسان؟ أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. متى الساعة؟ ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل؟ فأخبرني عن أشراطها. أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان. So رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم beautiful words and his manner of teaching. He has experience of teaching, great experience. He teaches to the best of his ability. He used to sit with the Sahaba. Sahabi says, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعَلِّمُنَا الْإِسْتِخَارَةَ كَمَا يُعَلِّمُنَا السُّورَةَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. He would sit down with us and he would teach us the dua of istikhara just as he would teach us a surah of the Qur'an. So meaning he would sit with the Sahaba like an ustad sits with the students. And like an ustad listens to the students, Rasulullah would listen to the Sahaba Rizwanullah alayhi majma'in. He would teach the Sahaba. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu says, عَلَّمَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ التَّشَهُدْ وَكَفِّي بَيْنَ كَفَّيْهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down with me and he taught me tashahud in such a manner that my hand was between his two hands. Meaning he sat me down in front of him, he got hold of my hands and my hand was between his two hands for performing a handshake. And he taught me every word of tashahud. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibatu. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallahu wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. So he is teaching, experience in teaching. He knows. He teaches a sahabi the dua which he needs to read before going to sleep. اللهم أسلمت نفسي إليك ووجهت وجهي إليك وفوضت أمري إليك وألجأت ظهري إليك رغبة ورهبة إليك لا ملجأ ولا منجأ منك إلا إليك آمنت بكتابك الذي أنزلت وبنبيك الذي أرسلت. The Sahabi repeats the words with him and he learns them, repeats them a few times, memorizes them. At the end he said, آمنت بكتابك الذي أنزلت وبرسولك الذي أرسلت. And the Prophet ﷺ said, La wa nabiyyika alladhi arsalta. So the Sahabi changed the word wa bi nabiyyika into wa bi rasulika. Rasulullah said, no, I taught you wa bi nabiyyika, read wa bi nabiyyika. So this shows his experience in teaching. He is listening to every word which the Sahabi is repeating and he is making sure that the Sahabi recites each and every word properly. His experience in teaching the Sahaba, he would sit down with them. Once he came out of his house and in Masjid Nabawi there were two gatherings. One gathering was of a few people who were reciting the Quran. So they were reciting the Quran whatever surah they were reciting, someone, one, two, three, they were reciting their own Qurans. And there was another section in which there are few people who are busy in studying and learning and teaching. Those who are learned are teaching those who are not. So he saw both groups and he said, هَؤُلَاءِ عَلَىٰ خَيْرٍ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنِ وَيَدْعُونَ اللَّهِ إِنْ شَاءَ أَجَابَهُمْ. These people who are reading the Quran are doing good work. They are reading the Quran, they are begging Allah, supplicating. If Allah wills, Allah will give them. And these people are busy in studying and teaching. وَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. I have been sent as a teacher, an educator, so I'm going to sit down with them. And he sat down in the company of those who were busy in studying and learning. So he liked those who used to teach. He was an experienced person. In fact, he used to encourage the Sahaba to teach. He would say, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً لِيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبُ. That learn, study properly from me, and then take this message forward to others. رُبَّ مُبَلَّغٍ أَوْعَى مِنْ سَامِعٍ. There is possibility that you deliver my speech, my hadith, my talk to someone, and he would understand it more than you. He would take more masail out of it. He would be better than you in understanding what I have said. So don't be stingy in reserving whatever I teach you. Learn it and pass it on to others. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very experienced teacher. He had full comprehensive knowledge of whatever he was teaching, and he had experience of teaching. And number three, dedication, hard work. We understand Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely dedicated to his work. He was working really hard, day in, day out. He never went out to earn daily bread and earn money and become millionaire. He was content with whatever Allah provides for him, but he would busy himself throughout the day in teaching. Dedication, firm dedication, always dedicated, working extremely hard. And the Sahaba knew this. And they would come to study. They knew that Rasulullah is going to work hard on us. So they would come and Rasulullah would always be busy in teaching them. He would be doing other duties as well. But his main duty was teaching, teaching, teaching. And he would teach in beautiful manner. He would use various methods of teaching. Example, today we have blackboards, whiteboards. Teacher writes on there. This is important, necessary. Because when the teacher writes on the blackboard, the students see it, it's visible, the subject becomes more clearer. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this. Well, how? Well, his blackboard was the ground. Sometimes he would draw lines and explain to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. For example, that hadith, Sahaba are sitting and he draws a square in the sand. And he draws one line at the bottom, and the line is going forward up to the top of the square. And he draws another line parallel to it, and that line is going up to the square and out of the square right up there. And he draws some small lines on the sides. Sahaba say, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? And he said, this is man, human being. And this square is his lifespan. And he is born over here at the end, and he is moving, his life is moving forward. And he's going to end at the top of the square. And the second line which is going with him is his high hopes. And you can see that the line of hopes is going right away. So, he thinks that, oh, I'm going to earn more money, I'm going to become a millionaire, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to buy so many houses, and this building, and this shop, and this million, and that millions. However, his hopes are over there, but the death comes and catches him over here, and he doesn't get the long, high hopes which he had. Therefore, we have to be content with whatever Allah provides for us. Don't always think about money, and becoming a millionaire, billionaire, and increasing the wealth. Be content with whatever Allah provides for you. And these small lines on the side, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these are musibats, calamities, problems which are attacking him. When you play a game on the computer and you see you try to attack that person, sometimes you catch it, sometimes you miss it. So he said, these small lines on the side, they are calamities, musibats. They are trying to attack the person while he's moving on in the life. If one misses him, the other one catches him. If one misses him, the other one catches him. So sometimes the problems come, sometimes we are saved. It is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to move on with our life. If we get problem, that doesn't mean we get stuck over there and finish and we don't move forward. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining in this manner by drawing sketches and explaining the reality of life. He used to sometimes use Dharbul Amsal, mention stories and explain. He would say, my example and your example is like a person who kindled a fire in the forest, and the moths and the grasshoppers, they love the fire. They are attracted by the fire. And they come for the fire and jump into the light, but as soon as they jump in there, they are burned to death. They don't realize that we're going to burn. They just fall for the fire and they are burnt. So he said, my example and your example is similar. There is the fire of Jahannam. You are jumping onto it, and I am trying to save you from it, just as that person who kindled the fire is trying to move those moths and grasshoppers away from the fire so that they don't get burnt. So I'm trying to save you from the fire of Jahannam, and there you are jumping into the fire of Jahannam by sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. Your sins are throwing you and pushing you into Jahannam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was experienced, he was dedicated, he was a very hard worker, he would use all means to teach the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Fourthly, manner of speech. This is also important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's speech was ajeeb, amazing. Amazing. He had fasahat, balaghat, eloquence at its peak. No one among the Arab has been as fasih and baligh and eloquent as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one can come within a million miles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You look at his ahadith and you look at the sayings of other Arabs, famous Arabs, and their quotes. Rasulullah's hadith stand out in front of all the other quotes. There is no similarity whatsoever. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Utitu jawami' al-kalim." I have been blessed with jawami'ul kalim, short, succinct words which have oceans of meanings. And ulama have written special books with regards to these jawami'ul kalim ahadith, wherein Rasulullah would say a small sentence, but when you open it up, it has an oceans of meaning. Example, he said a famous hadith, "Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi." A complete Muslim is he from whose hands and from whose tongues everybody is safe. So be a safe person. Don't hurt anyone with your tongue nor with your hand. With your tongue, by swearing, abusing, insulting, backbiting, lying, accusing, slandering. This is the sin of your tongue. And the sin of the hand is stealing, burglaring, theft, hitting, injuring, killing. This is the sin of the hand. So a complete Muslim is he from whose tongue and from whose hand others feel safe. So short sentence, but ocean of meaning in there. For example, ad-deenun nasiha. He said, deen is wishing well for everyone. This is deen. If you wish well for everyone, then your deen is complete. Wishing well for everyone. This is deen. This small two sentences only. Ad-deenun nasiha. Now, Sahaba asked, liman ya Rasulullah? Wishing well for whom? And he said, lillahi wa li kitabihi wa li rasulihi wa li aimmatil muslimina wa ammatihim. That you wish well for Allah, You wish well for Rasulullah, you wish well for Kitabullah, and you wish well for the leaders of the Muslim community, and you wish well for the general public among the Muslim community. That you, your heart is clean, you are safe, you are a nice person, and you are behaving with Allah in the manner which you should behave. Tawheed, believing in Him, not associating any partners with Him, revering, respecting, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You behave with Allah as you should behave with Him. You behave with Rasulullah as you should behave with Rasulullah. You love Him, you follow His, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You adapt His lifestyle, you behave like Him. Your akhlaq and manners and characteristics and ethos are like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And wishing well for Kitabullah, meaning you love the Quran, you recite the Quran, you learn the Quran, you understand the meaning of the Quran. This is wishing well for the Quran. And wishing well for the Aimma. Aimma has both meanings. Leaders, meaning rulers, the kings, the khalifas. And leaders, meaning the ulama. They are the leaders of the Muslim community. So you respect the ulama and you respect the leaders among the community. Whether they are the masjid committee, the president or the secretary, they are the leaders of the community. You respect them. You show them some respect. The imams, you show them respect. The ulama, the sulaha, the mashayikh within the community, you wish well for everyone. Your heart is clean. You're not backbiting every imam sahab, backbiting so-and-so, quarreling, fighting among yourself. This is no good. And you wish well for the general public. Each and every person, whether your neighbor is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, but you wish well for him. You are kind, you are nice to your person, your next door neighbor, or the person who is your work colleague, working with you at your job, or at your school, or at your university. Those around you are all your neighbors. With whom you associate throughout the day are your neighbors. Whole day, you are with your friend, you are with your colleague, you are at work, they are your neighbors. You have to be nice to them, you have to be kind to them. This is wishing well for the general public as well. وَعَامَّتِهِمْ. So, small sentence, only two words, but oceans of meaning in there. And you get many ahadith like this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's words were beautiful, small, short words, and they would have oceans of meanings in there. We can go into many ahadith like this. However, number four, the fourth adab is sincerity. Treating everyone fairly, equally. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such. Anyone who came, embraced Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be really happy, chuffed at his embracing of Islam, and he would show him the full attention. Sayyiduna Ali ibn Abi Talib, karramullah wajhahu, says in the hadith in Shama'il al-Tirmizi, describing the attributes of the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, لا يحسب جليسه أن أحدا أكرم عليه منه. That those sitting around him, none of them would think that the other person is more noble in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than me. Each and every one of them would think, I have the most izzat in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would all be equal to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would treat them nicely, fairly. Rasulullah would talk to them, listen to them attentively, answer to their queries. He would never sit in a gathering in such a manner that stretching his legs out in front of the people. So he would never stretch, even though they are the students. But Rasulullah is the teacher. But he would never stretch his legs out in front of the gathering. He would never look for the best spot to sit on. He would be humble, sit wherever he could find space. So Rasulullah's majlis was majlis of majlisu hilmin wa waqarin. There was forbearance. There was respect of everyone. Majlis of ilm wa haya'in, majlis of ilm, majlis of haya and modesty. So his majlis was amazing. Like Urwa ibn Mas'ud Thaqafi said that la yatanaza'una 'indahu al-hadith wa idha takallama khafadhu ru'usahum, that they would not scream in his presence and try to snatch speech away from other person. If one is speaking, everybody else would listen attentively and they would pay attention to whatever was being said. And when he himself would speak, they would lower their heads and listen very carefully. This is how we get so many ahadith. Because one of the features of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that many times he would repeat a sentence three times, thrice. He would say it and again and again.
So the person can memorize exactly what he was trying to say. And sometimes he would repeat one sentence in various sessions. Today, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. And sometimes he would change the wordings as well. This is where we get the different wordings in the hadith. Because in one session he used a different word, in the other session he used a different word. So both sahabis are narrating, and one sahabi narrates what he heard, and the other sahabi narrates what he heard. So because he used to repeat sentences, and he used to speak softly, slowly, so the person can grasp what he is trying to say, and understand, and memorize, this is how we get this huge collection of ahadith. Nobody's words and actions have been preserved in such a manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sayings, his words, his actions have been preserved. Muhaddithin went to great length and breadth to preserve the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam due to their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even you won't find a fraction of others. You go in history, you can't find one single hadith of Musa alayhi salam or Isa alayhi salam or Ibrahim alayhi salam with a sanad-e-muttasil continuous chain. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying perfectly, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Tirmizi, Abu Dawud, Nasai, you get thousands of hadith saved in the purest forms. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is at the top in every department: comprehensive knowledge, experience of teaching, dedication and hard work in teaching, his manner of speech, his fasahat, balagat, his sincerity, not giving preference to some over others, treating everyone fairly, equally, and finally, point number 6, practicing on whatever teaching. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to practice on whatever he taught. Whatever he taught. One sahabi says, whenever he would instruct us to do something, kana awwal akhizin bihi. And whenever he would be the first to practice on it. And whenever he would stop us from doing something, he would be the first to avoid it. So practice is necessary. If he was to say pray tahajjud, then he wasn't going to stay asleep. He would pray tahajjud himself. He would pray more than others. If he was to instruct people to give sadaqah khairat, he would be the first to give it. When in Medina Munawwara, when many delegations started coming and Islam was spreading, they used to have many mehmans and guests, foreigners at one time. Sometimes one qafla has arrived, so he had to tell the sahaba to feed the visitors. So once it so happened that it was evening time, and a caravan arrived. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bhai, these people need to be fed. Who is going to take how many people home?" Someone said, "I will take one." Someone said, "I will take two." Someone said, "I will take three." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself took 10 visitors to his house to feed them. So he is the first in practicing what he preaches. Whenever he would say something, he would do it. Whenever he would, for example, they are building the masjid, and the work is going on. Sahaba are working. Rasulullah himself is also working in the construction of the masjid. He is digging the holes as well, and he is also bringing soil and leveling the ground. At the time of digging the trenches, Sahaba are digging the trench. Rasulullah himself is digging as well. He has made a group of 10 sahaba and given them a particular area that this is how much you have to dig. He was also in one group and he was also digging as well. In fact, on one instance, some sahaba come and they say, "Ya Rasulullah, there is a huge rock which has appeared and we can't break it. What shall we do?" And he says, "Take me there." So he comes and they show him the huge rock. And he ties his garment properly and he says, "Give me the kudal." And he takes the kudal and pickaxe in his hand and bismillah, hits it. And the rock breaks to pieces. And some sparks come out of it. And he says, "In these sparks, I saw the mahallat and the palaces of Persia." And then he hits another one, really hard. And sparks come out, because when metal hits a rock, sparks come out. And he says, "In these sparks, I saw the palaces of Sham and Syria." And then a third time. And the third time, this rock crumbled into pieces. كَثْفَعَادَ كَثِيبًا أَحْيَلْ Like sand. And he said, this third time, I saw the palaces of Yemen and so and so areas. So Sahaba, they knew whatever he's saying, he's right. And it happened not so long. And Alhamdulillah, all these palaces were conquered. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be the first to practice. During the battle of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going with the Sahaba in the battle. And there's only 72 camels, one horse, and they are riding on the camels in turns. So there was in one camel was shared by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Lubaba al-Ansari and another Sahabi. So one would ride for a distance, the other two would walk, because there was luggage on there as well. So only one person could ride it. And then the other would ride and the other two would walk. When the turn of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come to descend, and then for the other to ride, the both partners would say, "No, Ya Rasulullah, you keep riding, you will keep walking." And Rasulullah said, No. Ma antuma bi aqwa minni wa ma ana aghna bil ajri minkuma. You are not more stronger than me, and I am not independent and free from the ajr and thawab and reward of walking. You have the same strength and energy as me, so you need some rest as well. You can't continue to walk the whole day and whole night. And also, there is thawab in every step we take in the path of Allah. And I want that thawab as well. I'm not independent from the thawab and reward. I need that thawab too. So I'm going to walk as well in my turn. So he himself is making himself humble, and he is practicing on whatever he is preaching. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced. You can go on and on and on. So the sixth adab of teaching is that when an ustad teaches children, he should also practice on whatever he teaches. Then his knowledge will benefit. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not only used to teach men, he used to teach the ladies as well. Some ladies came and they said, "Ya Rasulullah, these men are very fortunate. They get time to sit with you and learn from you. We need some time as well. Please give us some time." And he fixed a day for them and he told them that you should gather on so and so day and I will teach you. So the ladies would gather and he would go and teach them. And the Sahabiyya says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that if one of you ladies loses three children, meaning they die, then all the three children will become hijab and barrier for her from the fire of Jahannam. They will not let the mother go into Jahannam. Those dead children, infants, they will come and save her from the fire of Jahannam. So one lady asked, "What about two, Ya Rasulullah? Because I have two children who passed away." Rasulullah said, "Even two as well." So Rasulullah is teaching the ladies, sitting with them, answering their queries. Rasulullah is sitting with Aisha radiallahu anha, and a lady approaches and asks about masala of hayz. How does a woman wash her body from hayz? And Rasulullah explains that pour water over your head three times until the water reaches the pores of the hair and the whole head is covered and it's cleaned. Perform wudu. He also said, and clean the places of dam. So he used, you know, a word which was a little bit of haya and modesty. So he said, you know, take some cotton wool and dip it into some perfume, musk, and then tatahari biha, and clean yourself with it before washing and before or after washing the whole body. So she asked, kaifa tatahharu biha? How can I keep myself pak with that cotton wool? And Rasulullah said, subhanallah, tatahari biha. Well, clean yourself with it. So she couldn't understand, and she asked, kaifa tatahharu biha? So Aisha radiallahu anha says, I pulled her towards myself and I said, tatabbayi biha asar ad-dam.
Oh, now I understand. Meaning, wherever the blood of haiz and menstruation had stuck and there was some bad foul smell over there, then with that cotton wool which was dipped in the fragrance and musk, you clean that place with that cotton wool so no longer the smell is not left over there. We won't understand this because we have shower gel and shampoo and this, and there is good fragrance in there. But in those days, those stuff was not there. So they had to use these types of stuff to get rid of the foul smell. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching the ladies. He went to the jamaat of ladies on the day of Eid, and he said, "Ya ma'ashara al-nisa, tasaddaqna wa akthirna al-istighfar, fa inni uritukunna akthara ahli an-nar." O group of ladies, do two things: give lots of sadaqah and do lots of istighfar. Because I have seen that the most inhabitants of Jahannam were ladies. Jahannam had more ladies than men. So one of the ladies asked, "Ma lana akthara ahli an-nar? Why is there more ladies in Jahannam?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tukthirna al-la'n wa takfurna al-ashir." There were more ladies in Jahannam for two reasons. Your tongue is not under your control. You curse a lot. You swear a lot. You abuse a lot. Because of your curse and your foul mouth, you go in Jahannam. Because when you curse and you blah 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 blah, peh 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 peh, mari gyota tantyo bhangi jantai, ma mari jantai, hem thai jantai, tem thai jantai, chalna shuru hogi, chali so chali. Woh rukegi hi nahi. So number one, your tongue is not under control. You are very foul-mouthed. Keep your mouth under control. Keep your tongue under control. Don't do too much yap, 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 yap. And don't swear, don't abuse, don't insult others, your friends or your husbands, your family members. So keep your tongue under control. And the second, he said, وَتَكْفُرْنَ الْعَشِيرِ. You are never grateful to your husbands. You are always ungrateful. He said in another place, لو أحسنت إلى إحداهن الدهر ثم رأت منك شيئا لذهبت تقول ما رأيت منك خيرا قط. If you were be nice to your wife for your whole life, but for just one incident you went against her wish, please Begum, don't do this. Oh, and she will start, screaming. You've never done anything good for me, and you've always did. You always don't. You never let me buy anything, and you're always like this and like that. Hazrat Maulana Islamul Aqsab Rahmatullah Ali used to explain that if you buy everything for her, and on one instance you went with her to the downtown, and then she looked at a nice pair of shoes. I want these shoes, and you say, "Begum, bhi do hafta pehle to liya tha tune shoes. You bought shoes just 2 weeks ago." And she will start, "Oh, you never let me buy anything, you never give me any money, you never..." And she will scream and scream right up the way until you come back to your house. And you will have to listen to her all the time. Maulana Ibrahim Madani, I was coming with him, and his nice car, BMW, I didn't put the seatbelt on yet, and he was going, "Teh, teh, 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 teh." So Maulana Sahib said, "Mulsa, pehen lo, bahut dimag chate gaya seatbelt." मैं तो पहन लिया. मौलाना कहने लगे, मैं एक शख्स मेरे साथ बैठा हुआ था, वो पहने ही नहीं, मैं परेशान हो गया. मैंने कहा, भाई ये सीट बेल्ट, वेयर द सीट बेल्ट इज स्टेट. ही सेड, "मौलाना साहब, आई एम यूज्ड टू इट, आई ऑलवेज लिसन टू इट एट होम." सो दिस पे 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 ऑलवेज विद योर हस्बैंड्स, दैट्स नॉट राइट. है तकफुरुल आशीर. सो बी ग्रेटफुल टू योर हस्बैंड्स. Rasulullah is explaining this. So two reasons. So dear sisters, avoid these two reasons. Keep your tongue under control. Read some tasbihat, zikr, fikr, tilawat of Quran. And always be grateful. Do shukr of Allah. And do shukr of your family members. If you are still young, not married, then be grateful to your father, your mother, your parents. Do their khidmat. And if you grow up, you get your own job, then don't be stubborn and spend your money on yourself. Help your parents with their bills, with their payments. And if you are married, then be nice to your husbands. If you have children, look after your children properly. Lead a life of piety, taqwa. And inshallah, you will be admitted into Jannah. Jannat is more easy for ladies than men. Men have to do a lot of effort. Women don't have to do that much effort. Men have to come to the masjid for 5 times namaz. Ladies can pray at home. Men have to come for Jummah. Ladies don't have to. Men have to go in the path of Allah for sacrifice. Ladies don't have to. Rasulullah said, if a lady does 4 things, then all the 8 gates of Jannat are open for her. She can go from whichever gate she wants. Just upon doing 4 things. Al-mar'atu idha sallat khamsaha, wa samat shahraha, wa ata'at ba'daha, wa ahsanat farjaha, faltadkhul min ayya abwaabil jannati sha'at. When a lady prays 5 times a day, and keeps roza in Ramadan, and listens to her husband, and protects her modesty, chastity, these 4 things, then Jannat is open for her. She can go from whichever gate she wants. Rasulullah didn't mention zakat, he didn't mention hajj. Because in those days, ladies never used to have too much wealth, that zakat would become farz upon them. Today, ladies have jewelry, gold, silver, money, so you have to give zakat as well. And if you are wealthy, you have to go for hajj as well. Those days, ladies were simple. Rasulullah said, you pray your namaz 5 times a day, and you keep your roza in Ramzan, and listen to your husband, and protect your chastity. One place I mentioned these 4 things, and one Haji Sahab Budde, he goes up, Maulana Sahab, wo teesra number hai na, wo mushkil hai. Maine kaha kyun? Kehne laga, Maulana Sahab, ye zamane mein to wo kehte hain ki nahi hai, main aapko nahi manungi, aapne mera manne ka. Wo kharch karne ke silsile mein kehte hain ki mera paisa to mera hai hi aur tera paisa bhi mera hai. My money is mine, but your money is mine as well. میں نے کہا یہ حاجی صاحب بےچارے بہت فیڈ اپ ہیں اپنی بڈھی سے. اینی وے بہت دیر ہو گئی, میں صرف یہ سمجھا رہا تھا. آئی واز ٹرائنگ ٹو ایکسپلین, رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم واز اے بیوٹیفل ٹیچر, ہی واز اے پرفیکٹ ٹیچر, ہی نیو ہز اسٹف, ہی واز ایکسپیرینسڈ, ہی واز ڈیڈیکیٹڈ, ہی یوز ٹو چوز دا رائٹ ورڈز, ہی واز سنسیئر ان ہز ٹیچنگ, ہی یوز ٹو پریکٹس آن وٹ ایور ہی ٹاٹ. He is the best teacher this world could have ever seen. He was a very nice person, very humble person, very mutawazi person. And he would never hit anyone. He would never raise his hands on anyone. Ummul Mumineen Aisha radiallahu anha says, مَا ضَرَبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِيَدِهِ شَيْئًا قَطُّ وَلَا امْرَأَةً وَلَا خَادِمًا إِلَّا أَن يُجَاهِدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So we have to keep these attributes and qualities in mind. Love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, study his teachings, practice upon whatever he has said, read the Quran, learn the Quran, practice on the Quran, learn the ahadith, practice on the ahadith, and become a good Muslim, a carbon copy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If each and every single one of us sitting over here was to become a carbon copy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much good can we spread in the world? We can bring a lot of good to the world, and the world needs this goodness. There is so much turbulence and fitnas out there. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being given bad name. So by these conferences, we want to get rid of that phobia, whatever phobia there is, and we want to create a good environment within the society. We are keeping this conference for our Muslims. We should also have such gatherings for non-Muslims as well. In our Hindustan, they used to have open gatherings where Muslims and non-Muslims would both be invited. And this is where the non-Muslims learned a lot about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why Mahatma Gandhi, felt deep love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he got, books of Sirat and he studied. And he says, when I finished that book of Sirat, I wanted to study more and more. I felt sad when I put the last volume of his Sirat down that I could not study more about this great personality. So, we should also talk to our colleagues and friends and give them some nice books of seerah so they can realize who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. And whatever is going on out there about demonizing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showing him to be a very bad person, we can get rid of that, you know, of those things which are out there, and show the right and sahih, correct personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give us tawfiq to do so. May Allah accept our sitting over here. Sorry for taking too much of your time, but it's Saturday. You don't have to go to work tomorrow. Mufti Ismail told me you can take as much time as you want, so you can have your arguments with him now, not with me. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum. Ho gaya ji? Dua kar le. Durood Sharif padho, short dua kar lete hain. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله بيدك الخير كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي نبي الرحمة كما تحب وترضى عدد ما تحب وترضى كلما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الفقر وقنا عذاب الدين واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الأبرار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا وارزقنا واسترنا واجبرنا واهدنا وارفعنا إنا لما أنزلت إلينا من خير فقراء اللهم اغفر لجميع أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا صالحا ورزقا حلالا طيبا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما وزدنا علما وزدنا علما اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب رسولك وحب من ينفعنا حبه عندك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا أرحم الراحمين أو الله you are the most merciful among the merciful. You are the most kind. You are the most generous. You are the most noble, the most sharif, the most sakhi, the most jawad. Oh Allah, you are ghafoorul raheem. You are worthy of all praise. You are hannan, mannan, badi'us samawati wal ard. You are hayyu qayyum. You are zul jalali wal ikram. Oh Allah, we beg you, we beseech you for your grace, for your mercy, for your rahmah, for your forgiveness. Oh Allah, please have mercy upon us. Oh Allah, please forgive our shortcoming, forgive our mistakes. Oh Allah, please have mercy upon us. Be generous with us, be kind to us. Oh Allah, take care of us, protect us, have mercy upon us. Give us hidayat, give us complete guidance. Oh Allah, give us your love and give us the love of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, give us the ability to practice upon the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to study the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to practice on the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, accept this conference, accept this gathering. Oh Allah, make this conference a success, a source of hidayat and rushd and guidance for the Muslim community and for others as well. Oh Allah, give us a tawfiq to say the right things and give us a tawfiq to understand and to practice upon whatever we teach and study and whatever we hear. Oh Allah, have mercy upon us. Oh Allah, give good reward to all those who organized this conference and all those who helped in making this a success. Oh Allah, this huge gathering sitting over here, they have many tamannas and wishes in their hearts. Oh Allah, fulfill their tamannas, be kind to them and fulfill their needs, and have mercy upon us, accept our humble du'as, be pleased with us, give us all those good things which your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked from you, protect us from all those evils, trials, tribulations, problems, fitnas from which he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek your protection. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahumma wa sallim ala sayyidina Muhammad والي وصحابي اجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.